If you are a wine snob, then oaky, tannic, and full-bodied are probably in your vocabulary. And if you are into beer, you might throw around hoppy or fruity. But smoky is probably strictly removed from your alcoholic dictionary. However, when the bushfires tainted grapes in an Australian winery, a brewery stepped in for the exciting collaboration that is Brightside. This morning, I'm chatting with the men behind this mission, Toffer Boehm from Wildflower Brewing and Blending, and Brian Martin from Ravensworth Wines, to hear more. Good morning.
Good morning, Marlene. Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Wonderful to have you both on the show. How did you guys collaborate? How did you guys meet each other?
Brian and I met in about 2017, just as I was about to start the brewery. And Brian is a very keen fermenter. He's well more established than myself, and a lot more experience in all kinds of food fermentation. And we just struck up a relationship that's lasted over these years, and we've collaborated a number of times between his winery and our brewery. And this series is no different, just another collaboration, I suppose, coming from a different place, but we just thought we keep working together.
And I'm really curious, how is the flavor profile of different grapes altered when they're exposed to bushfire smoke?
I guess in the on the wine side of things is that when smoke affects plants, they absorb it into their systems, and in grapes it ends up in the fruit. And if you go and taste the grapes, they don't taste any different. They taste like grapes. But when we ferment them, the process of fermentation cleaves smoke compounds off the sugar molecules and releases it into the wine, and it makes it taste. So it's only smoke aromas, lots of different smoke aromas. But the problem in wine is it's very, very bitter, acrid texture and taste in your mouth. And it's much like probably licking an ashtray would taste like, if you want to do that. So it's, in wine, it's it will be very careful. It's it gets worse as the wine ages. It cloaks most of the varietal characters. And most winemakers would be very hesitant to make wine from smoke affected fruit unless they had to. So we decided not to. But you could try it. Some people tried it, but again, the problem is you just don't know what's going to happen as the wine ages.
And I'm also curious on the side of beer as well. We typically associate hops with beer and grapes with wine. So does Brightside taste very different?
Yes, it does. However, one of the reasons for having some amount of confidence doing this, this isn't something that's done often, and Brian and I don't hope to find ourselves in this situation again with his fruit being tainted. But beer actually has a long history with smoke itself. There's a city in Germany in Bamberg that still produces a great variety of smoked beers. The kilning process of malting barley specifically requires some heat, and before gas heat or electronic heat, those grains would have been dried over fire. And so there is an argument that pretty much every style of historical beer would have had elements of smoke in them. So we do have this relationship in beer, and obviously, that was one of the reasons for undertaking the collaboration. But really, is from a broader perspective, it was from a desire to challenge ideas on waste more than ideas, I think, on flavor. Challenging ideas, I suppose, on what is valuable and what is compost. So like value adding rather than recycling or simply composting. Our beers as well are a fair bit different than your run-of-the-mill IPA. And they age in oak barrels. They're fermented by native yeast that we foraged off of flowers here in New South Wales. And our beers bear a sort of a flavor profile that is, I suppose, could be arguably more similar to traditional, I suppose, older styles of beer. So beers that would have been produced in the 1700s or 1800s, and the various microbial activities that happen a lot in our beers are what suit them to be married with Brian's grapes, even when they're not smoke tainted, but even this time when they were smoke tainted, there seems to be some interaction between the diversity of fermentation bacteria and yeast and microbes with the smoke tank molecules, which has yielded the beers to not have that, thankfully, not have that ash licking an ashtray flavor that Brian suggested it would have in the wine. So it really is quite a fascinating result, and you know, we're glad that it's actually pretty good as well. It's a nice bonus.
Look, we are running definitely over time, but I did want to ask you one last question before I ended it. Is we're seeing more bushfires, you know, coming up each summer. So I'm kind of curious: are you looking to do this again in the future? Would you consider expanding or even purposefully sourcing smoke tainted grapes?
It's not on the radar. I mean, I really like wine. I like wine that isn't smoke tainted, and I think I hope that we don't have to. But definitely one of the other reasons for undertaking the project and for it being the size that it was for us. It's not huge, but for a very small brewery, it was a lot of undertaking. One of the reasons was to have reference points for later time for the future, because if it's not New South Wales wine regions losing, you know, I think it was approximated 40 to 60 million kilograms of fruit last year, it could be a different region or another place in the world. And so by talking about it and making these beers, hopefully we can think about other things to do with fruit that not just wine grapes, but fruit that's deemed in one person's eyes as waste.
Brian and Topher, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marlene.